بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. الحمد لله. Allah has blessed us in so many ways, especially in this that we still have an opportunity as this month of Ramadan passes rapidly, as it is departing quickly. Allah give us tawfiq to value this passing guest, this guest that is very, very special. As the friend of Allah says, Akrimu hadha dhayf al-ajool. Value this guest that departs very quickly, in a very speedy manner. So alhamdulillah, one very important event that took place during the month of Ramadan, which was actually the means to bring a change to the entire universe. Quran Kareem refers to this occasion as Yawmul Furqan, the day the decision was taken that Haqq will definitely triumph over Batil. Allah will make Haqq triumphant. Subhanallah. What we learn from here is this is something of conviction. The deen belongs to Allah. Allah will preserve his deen. Allah will protect his deen. That's why we learn in our history, throughout the history of Islam, Muslims went through a lot of challenges, many ups and downs. There were many times where it was felt that now it's over. But each time, Allah always uplifted the deen again. Those who Allah will use are the chosen servants of Allah. We have to ask Allah to make us of those who He accepts. Not only ask Allah to use us. One is Allah must use us. We must beg Allah for that, because Allah Ta'ala doesn't need us and the deen of Allah doesn't need us. We need deen. One is, Ya Allah, use us for your deen. But not only use us. The hadith of Allah's Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Inna Allah la yu'ayyidu deena bil rajulil fajir. Sometimes a man can be fajir, an open sinner, a defiant one, a disbeliever, but Allah can help the deen through him. So yes, we want Allah to use us. But number two, very importantly, oh Allah, accept us and accept from us. Accept us for your deen, through your karam, through your mercy. Not that we are worthy, but Allah, because we need you. Ya Allah, and we need your deen. For this we have to beg Allah. And we learn this from Sahaba radiallahu anhum. They, everything was given for the deen. Anyway, one great event that took place where the tables turned and the decision was made, this day happened in Badr, in Ramadan. This day is known as Yawmul Furqan, the day this decision was taken, that Allah will give victory to Haqq over Batil. So we want to discuss the Sahaba radiallahu anhum's role and the different events that took place in Badr, because being in Ramadan, this is something very, very important for us as Muslims, to rehearse this lesson. Anyway, during the Meccan stage, the Muslims were suppressed, they were oppressed, they were harmed, they were tortured, they went through brutal torture, and they would not retaliate. Each time, فَصْبِرْ صَبْرًا جَمِيلًا, Muslims would show beautiful sabr, would not retaliate, would continue to invite the people to Islam, and they would receive torture, but never give in, nor would they retaliate. Then Allah's instruction came, that O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, take your sahaba, go to the lands of Medina Munawwara. That event in our history is known as the Hijrah, where sahaba had to leave everything. Even if their loved ones were not prepared to join and accept Iman, they had to leave their loved ones. They had to leave their businesses, leave their homes, leave their hometown, leave what they were accustomed to, what comforted them. Sacrifice all of that for Allah's sake, and for the sake of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and for the sake of the da'wat of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That event is known as the Hijrah. Sahaba radhiyallahu anhu came to a land where they were welcomed. They were foreigners to that land. They were like outsiders. But Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's akhlaq, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught the Ansar, and the Ansar had such akhlaq that the Muhajireen never felt like outsiders. They never felt that they are not from here. The Ansar made the Muhajireen feel so welcome, that they tried to actually make them forget their own homes. Obviously, that is very difficult, but this was the level of the ikram of the Ansar. The Ansar never made them feel like outsiders. Allah give us tawfiq. We should learn this from the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. There are so many foreigners around us. Not long ago, our forefathers went through the same. We should treat the people very, very kindly, very lovingly. Give them a warm welcome. Befamily them. Befriend them. Honor them. Make ikram of them. Invite them. This is the teaching of our deen. This is what the Muhajireen and the Ansar did. What level they did it? To such a level. They would give them half of their income. They would give them portions of their home. Leave that. Some would go to the extent of saying, see my wives, I got two. Which one you like? That's the one I will divorce. And I will make arrangements after her iddat that she will be wedded to you. What a level of ikram. This is beyond what our minds can fathom. This is mind-boggling. One would find this hard to believe. But wallah, this is true. This is sahaba radiyallahu anhum. Yeh sahaba radiyallahu anhum. As it is expressed so beautifully in the hadith of Hazrat Uwaym bin Sa'idah radiallahu anhu, Allah's Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah chose my sahaba. Inna Allah ta'ala ikhtara li ashaba wa ja'alahum li ansaran wa wuzara. And Allah made them my helpers. And those who will carry the burden of my deen, those who will bear the responsibilities of my deen, wa wuzara. He who defiles them, reviles them, disrespects them, discards them, upon him will be Allah's curse, Malaika's curse, and humanity's curse. As one friend of Allah expresses these sentiments, meaning expresses Sahaba radiallahu anhum's efforts and their value, he says so beautifully, أُولَٰئِكَ أَتْبَاعُ النَّبِيِّ وَحِزْبِهِ وَلَوْلَاهُمُ مَا كَانَ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُسْلِمُ وَلَوْلَاهُمُ كَادَتْ تَمِيدُ بِأَهْلِهَا وَلَكِنْ رَوَاسِيهَا وَأُوْتَادُهَا هُمُ وَلَوْلَاهُمُ كَانَتْ ظَلَامًا بِأَهْلِهَا وَلَكِنْ هُمُ فِيهَا بُدُورٌ وَأَنْجُمُ أُولَٰئِكَ أَتْبَاعُ النَّبِيِّ وَحِزْبِهِ وَلَوْلَاهُمُ مَا كَانَ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُسْلِمُ. Those are Sahaba. This Ulaika in Arabic is for great status. Such are the Sahaba. They are the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They are the men of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They are the party of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And were it not for them, ma kana fil ardi muslimu, no Islam would have remained on this earth. If it wasn't for them, the Qiyamah would have taken place already. Kadat tamidu bi ahliha. The earth would have shaken because of sin, because of waywardness, because of darkness, because of astrayness. But we think it's the mountains that keep the earth stable. Walakin rawasiha wa utaduha humu. The firmly embedded mountains and the pegs that keep this earth stable is Sahaba and the Amal of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. If it wasn't for them, this earth would be a dark place. And we think it's the skies and the sun and the moon and the stars that bring light. Walakin humu fiha. Sahaba were those who were in reality the true stars and the sun and the moon. Walakin humu fiha budurun wa anjumu. These are stars. Allahu Akbar. How beautifully it's expressed in the ahadith. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke for all times. As though this hadith is telling us, those people we see popping and jumping and climbing and acting, that those are not stars. That is destruction. That is waywardness. That is what will take a person to what is false. There's no happiness in that. There's no peace in that style. There's no happiness in that way. There's happiness, there's peace, there's salvation, there's contentment in Sahaba's way. How Sahaba did, what Sahaba did, how Sahaba radiallahu anhum helped humanity, how they were a salvation to humanity. I remember some youngsters sitting around the table and speaking about some people that they claim to be stars in sport and so forth. So Allah gave this person tawfiq and he says to them, you know, those people we're speaking about, they don't even care about us. They are not even worried about us. And were you to approach any of them, even to try and get an autograph, he would think, if he were to do it, first of all, to reach him is very highly unlikely. But were one to actually reach there, he would think he's doing you the greatest favor. And his day and night is what? Not cared about you or worried about you, not even concerned. But there's someone. And this person has such followers, and everyone holds these same sentiments, who loves you so much. In this world he came to save you, and he was worried about you. And when he was leaving this world, he cried for you. On the day of judgment, he'll cry for you and intercede for you. And he'll want you to drink from his pond. His concern knew no bounds. His love was even more than that of the mother. And with him was the Sahaba who sacrificed. His associates, his companions, his disciples, his best friends. They were concerned, and they took his worry, and they took his concern to the four corners of the world. And these youngsters were thinking, yes, yes, definitely, how nice it would be to know these people. Respected lovers of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, who are these people? Allah's Habib sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his Sahaba. These are the true people. These are stars. These are the sun, the moon, the lanterns, the stars. Allah give us the understanding. Radiallahu anhum. Life in Medina was amazing. Sahaba were united. The Jews who lived in Medina were given a good treatment as well. They were given a fair treatment. They were welcome to stay in Medina. They were given fair treatment. They were allowed to maintain their religion. They were allowed to live in peace. They were to live peacefully in Medina Munawwara. But what happened now was the Meccans who tried to destroy Islam in Makkah. They couldn't bear it that Islam is welcomed in Medina by the Ansar. They couldn't bear this. They were burning. And what was their plan? Just like they tried to destroy Islam in Makkah, like they tried to assassinate Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on his departure from Makkah Mukarramah, like they hunted for him and finally reached the cave where Allah sent his armies. Allah sent that spider to weave its web on the mouth of the cave. Allah sent the pigeon to lay the egg on the cave. Allah preserved his Habib sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah's friends, the ulama, express it so beautifully. When Allah's help is with you, when Allah's help is with you, even a spider's web is sufficient for your protection because it's Allah's help. But if Allah's help is not with you, you can be behind a steel wall. It's not sufficient because Allah's help is not with you. Hazrat Maulana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi rahmatullah alayhi expresses and discusses the moments where Allah's Habib sallallahu alayhi wasallam was in the cave, and the Meccans with their trackers in rage, ranting and raving, looking for the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, with their armies, with their men, with their weaponry. And their plan was to assassinate him on the spot. They couldn't bear it anymore. They even encircled his house before he had departed sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they reached the mouth of the cave. He says the world was at a standstill, that what is going to happen now? If Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is found by them, it's destruction to continue in this world. And if he's going to be saved, it is salvation and success for humanity forever and ever. It was breathtaking. It was a moment that the world halted, the skies, the universe, the angels, everything held their breath for that moment. Hazrat Abu Bakr was so worried, that, O Nabi of Allah, if they just look down, they're going to see us definitely. What will happen to you, O my Nabi? This is Abu Bakr's worry. His entire worry was the beloved of Allah. Look at the response of the beloved of Allah. And this Allah expressed in his kalam, in his Quran. Allah says in his kalam, إِلَّا تَنْصُرُوهُ فَقَدْ نَصَرَهُ اللَّهُ. O humanity, if you don't want to help my Nabi, Allah is helping him. فَقَدْ نَصَرَهُ اللَّهُ. Imagine the emphasis in these verses. You don't want to help my Nabi. Allah is helping him. When Allah made him come out, when the disbelievers banished him, him and his sati, thaniyathnain idhuma fil ghar. Allah. Quran is expressing Hazrat Abu Bakr as the second of the two of them, two alone, the best of friends. They were in the cave, the ghar. Ghar means a little cave. Kahf means a bigger cave. Idh yaqulu li sahibih, when he says to his sati, to his sahib, to his sahabi, Quran expresses the sahabiyat of Siddiq. La tahzan, O my sati, don't feel sad. Abu Bakr was sad. Quran, Allah's Nabi didn't say don't fear. Fear is for oneself. Quran, Allah's Nabi told him, don't feel sad. Sadness is for the next. Don't grieve. Don't grieve. I know you worried about me. Don't grieve. Don't feel sad. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was not worried about himself even a little bit. His only worry was the beloved of Allah. La tahzan. Don't grieve, my sati. Inna Allah ma'ana. Allah is with us. So they didn't want the Muslims to survive in Makkah Mukarramah. And now that Muslims had departed, this added to their rage, this added to their anger, and they wanted to leave no stone unturned in destroying Islam. They tried to associate with the Jews. They tried to associate with people inside Medina. And their plan was to eradicate Islam. They were very upset that the Ansar had welcomed the Muslims. And this is Allah's system. When Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not welcome in Makkah, Allah blessed the people who opened their hearts and opened their bosoms for the Nabi of Allah and for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We learn from here. If we don't want the deen, Allah will just bring others who will take the deen seriously. Really respected lovers of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, look in the different areas. Look with an eye of introspection. Look with an eye of deliberation. Ponder. See, deen doesn't stop. Deen carries on. You and I will walk away. You and I will walk past the fikr of deen. You and I will just leave the people worrying about deen. But that fikr will not stop. You and I, we think we came a long ago. We'll walk past. Allah will bring new people and more new people and more new people, and they will sit and they will make fikr and they will take Allah's deen seriously. Allah expresses in the Quran, in these verses Allah says, you don't want to help my Nabi. Allah is helping him. Allah will bring the helpers. Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَنْ يَرْتَدَّ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِهِ. He who will turn away from the deen, and we learn from here, he who won't want to help the deen. Allah Ta'ala says, Allah will soon bring people. Allah loves them and they love Allah. Allah loves them. Look at Allah's mercy. Allah mentions His love first when Allah is totally independent. And Allah mentions their efforts, that they will enjoin good. They will forbid evil. They will strive for Allah. They will not fear. They will not worry what people have to say. وَلَا يَخَافُونَ فِي اللَّهِ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ. Allah forgive us. Sometimes you don't want to participate. We worry about the comments of people. Ask ourselves, is it what do we have to worry what people have to say? Or worry is, how will we answer Allah on the Day of Judgment? Should we consider what they have to say or what our Allah says? This is the month to change. This is the month that our decision must be made. Allah, I want to do what pleases you. Fa'arullah, Allah's Nabi said, show Allah. Show off to Allah. Prove yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make Allah happy. Not that you think you're doing Allah a favor. Not that we think we're doing Allah a favor. But we want to make our Allah happy. We want to make our Allah pleased. We want to make our Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the happiest. وَرِضْوَانٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. Anyway, Allah ta'ala chose the people of Medina Munawwara. And from the beginning, brotherhood took place. And then the Meccans were trying everything. First, Muslims were not allowed to fight. Here in Medina Munawwara, the Meccans didn't stop. The verses of Quran came. أُذِنَ لِلَّذِينَ يُقَاتَلُونَ بِأَنَّهُمْ ظُلِمُونَ. Now we're discussing historical events, events that took place in history. So Allah says, those who were oppressed and those who were fought against all along, Allah has now given them permission to fight back. And now Muslims were given the permission. This permission came from the Quran. They were oppressed all along. They were suppressed. Now they have to defend their deen. They have their lands. They must defend it. And from the initial stages, the first time Muslims went out, one of the first times was, it was also Ramadan, Hazrat Hamza radiallahu anhu was sent. This was the first year Hijri, approximately 6 months after the arrival of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So let's work our way towards Badr. It was Ramadan, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Hamza radiallahu anhu. It was a skirmish, they went out, and on the other side was Abu Jahl, ranting and raving and in their rage, but no battle took place there. But interestingly, that took place in Ramadan as well. Then Hazrat Ubaidah bin Harith radiallahu anhu was sent. With him was Hazrat Mistah bin Uthatha radiallahu anhu. He had a white banner. They went in Allah's way. During that expedition, Hazrat Miqdad bin Amr and Utbah bin Ghazwan came on the side of the Mushrikeen. But they were inspired by the Muslims and they joined the Muslims. Either they joined the Muslims, the intention was from the beginning, or they were inspired by the Muslims. And that's the akhlaq of a Muslim, that a non-Muslim will see his akhlaq and be touched and he will come to Islam. Just today we went to meet the family of a man who embraced Islam, an elderly man. And we went to meet his son, and his wife came to sit there. So we explained to his son about the beauty of deen. So we're telling them that, you know, we love you to also look into deen. So his mother says, you know, I always loved my son to be in the company of Muslims. And if he was to visit the masjid, I would be very happy, because I know it'll keep him away from bad company, from drugs, from wrong. So non-Muslims will be affected by Islam. And this is the month also to share Islam with them. These were Saraya. Then comes something called Ghazwa. Ghazwa is where Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam joined Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So the first time it was Al-Abwa. It took place in Safar. So this is the second year, Safar. And it was August, the year 623, according to the Gregorian calendar, 11 months after Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's arrival in Medina Munawwara, which was the Hijrah. The banner was carried here by Hazrat Hamza radiallahu anhu. The Sahabi Hazrat Sa'ad bin Ubadah radiallahu anhu was made in charge of Medina Munawwara in the absence of Janabi Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. During this expedition, something interesting happened. Hazrat Amr bin Auf Muzani radiallahu anhu narrates, he says, we were with Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When we were in this area called Ruha, Allah's Nabi camped at a place called Irq al-Dhabiya. We performed salah there. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked us a few questions, taught us something, and Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would always teach his Sahaba radiallahu anhu. Then he said, what mountain is this? We said, Allah and his Rasul know best, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah's Nabi named the mountain Hamat. Then Allah's Nabi said, this is from the mountains of Jannah. Oh Allah, bless this mountain and bless its people. Then Allah's Nabi said that this area, Ruha, here 70 Anbiya perform Salah in this area, Ruha. Then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, wearing his two sheets, Aba'atan Qutwaniyatan, Kurta and his Lungi, Izar Lungi, and he was riding his camel here with 70,000 Bani Israel. They were on their way for Hajj. They were passing this area. Allah is showing me that scene. Then Allah's Nabi said, before Qiyamah, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam will come via this route performing Hajj and Umrah, or one of the two. That interesting event took place in Abwa. Then Buwat. Then Ghazwa Dhil Ushayra. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was with Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Yeah, there was a truce there. Allah's Nabi taught deen in that region. Hazrat Ammar bin Yasir says something interesting. He says, I was with Hazrat Ali and we were close. So that night we saw the farmers working. So we said, let's go view and see. We'll talk to them. We'll learn something. And we're watching them work on their farm and digging their stream. And then it was dusty there. We fell asleep. And the next morning, Allah's Nabi wakes us up, Ahabbana. And with his feet, he lovingly got us up, and he's seeing Hazrat Ali filled with dust. So he's telling him, Qum ya Aba Turab, oh, the man of dust. So Allah's Nabi called him dusty man lovingly on that occasion. The other occasion is also famous, but this was the first occasion. This was in the initial stages in Medina Munawwara. Then Allah's Nabi said, do you all know who is the most wretched of all? So he said, O Nabi of Allah, you tell us. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the man who was reddish in color, from the people of Thamud who hamstrung the camel. He was number one. And the other is he who strikes you, O Hazrat Ali. He will strike you with the sword on the head here, and the blood will smear and fill your beard. And Allah's Nabi held his beard to show. So interestingly, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw this event. Allah showed him an event that was to take place 30 years later. But Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was warning us something, warning us about something very, very important. That when we see, when history happened, the man who made shaheed to Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, his name was Abdul Rahman bin Muljim, and Allah's Nabi says he is the worst of people. What we learn from here, this is the problem when people don't take deen from the correct sources. Be careful of the avenues where we take the deen. These people who were the radicals, they were the extremists, Abdul Rahman bin Muljim and his cronies. Allah's Nabi mentioned such people. When they read Quran, you think nobody can read like them, but it doesn't permeate the heart. It comes out, it like an arrow goes through the target with no remnant of that target, no blood, no skin, nothing. It goes from one ear, one goes into the mouth and comes out completely. It doesn't have an impact on them because they didn't take deen from Sahaba radiallahu anhum. These same people, Sahaba, are there and they think they know better. Allah forgive us, today we get such people also. There's such learned scholars and there's such beautiful avenues of our deen, but they think they know better and they criticize and they look down upon others and they make kufr of others. Allah Ta'ala save us. Anyway, this is this incident here. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam prophesied here, and Allah showed him this event that was to unravel on this occasion. Then a famous event took place known as Nakhla. Now we find in these expeditions, the Muhajireen would only come out. There's wisdom behind that, that we should know in our history. On this occasion, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was training Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Here, this was an expedition called Nakhla. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sending Hazrat Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu anhu. He became very emotional. He felt, how will I bear the separation of the beloved of Allah? So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam called Abdullah bin Jahash radiallahu anhu. Oh Abdullah, you come. And Allah's Nabi appointed few other Sahaba, 8 in this Jamaat of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. They were to go to this area, Nakhla. So Allah's Nabi called Hazrat Abdullah bin Jahash, gave him a letter and said to him, after 2 days you open this letter. And then they departed. After 2 days, the letter wrote, don't force anyone to come with you. And if anyone wants to come back, let him come back. And he who wants to sacrifice for Allah's deen, let him carry on with you. All of them wanted to sacrifice and they departed. They get to this area. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells them, bring information about this caravan. This was a lot of wealth that the Meccans were planning to use against Islam, to destroy Islam. This is why Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted this information. Now Sahaba radiallahu anhum felt, Allah's Nabi is going to tell us to take this caravan because this is what they're going to use it for. And all our wealth, they confiscated it when we left Makkah. And the Amir, Abdullah bin Jahsh as well, his house, his properties, everything was taken by Abu Jahl. And it was never to be returned to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And the worst part was, all this wealth they were going to use to eradicate Islam. So these Sahaba felt, Allah's Nabi, we're going to gain the information, we're going to go back, he's going to send us again. So let's get the thing done, let's take the caravan one time. So they go, and in this there was a skirmish, the 4 guards, there was a hustle, one got killed, Amr al-Hadrami, Ibn al-Hadrami was killed, one escaped, and 2 were taken captive, one of which was Hakam bin Kaysan, the other was Uthman, and the caravan was now escorted into Medina Munawwara. When this happened, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was upset. Why was he upset? Number one is the Meccans started spreading so much of rumors and started blowing this incident out of proportion, saying, see what Muhammad did, see what Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam does. You know, this is the sacred months, he doesn't have any respect for anything sacred. What happened was, it was Rajab was a sacred month, it was the last day of Rajab. So they were discussing, if we're going to go for them, it's Rajab, and if we wait tomorrow, they already, for till the next day, they are going to be in the haram. So we are now in a catch-22. So let's just take the caravan, and that's what had happened. Now also, because people were actually adding and aggravating the incident in the entire Arabia, because they would look for opportunities and occasions just to defame Islam and falsely give a negative appearance to Islam. Anyway, this is a lengthy incident, but what happened here was, afterwards Quran revealed regarding these Sahaba radiallahu anhum, explaining that the Meccan people are people of fitna, and they did much worse things and so forth. يسألونك عن الشهر الحرام قتال فيه. They ask you about fighting in the sacred months. قل قتال فيه كبير. It is severe, but what the Muslims did, they shouldn't have fought in the sacred months. But then Quran says, وَصَدٌ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَكُفْرٌ بِهِ وَالْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. But stopping people from Islam and the path of Allah, and defying and denying Allah in the haram, and banishing people from the haram, and the people of the haram who live there being banished from the haram, these are crimes much worse. So the Meccans are making a big thing about this, blowing their trumpet, but what they did was much worse. So from here it was understood that Quran is alleviating this challenge that had befallen the Muslims, because they were sad, they brought pain to Allah's Nabi's heart. Something else that was interesting here, that the two captives who were in Masjid al-Nabawi were given such a lovely treatment. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu says, Allah's Nabi would sit with Hakam bin Kaysan and talk to him so nicely, and sit with him for long periods answering his questions. So much so that I said to Allah's Nabi, leave this man, he doesn't want to accept. Let him go to hell, O Nabi of Allah. Allah's Nabi says, Umar, you sit with the others there, let me talk to him and discuss with him. Not long after that, Hatta Aslam al Hakam, Hazrat Hakam became the Sahabi, Hazrat Hakam bin Kaysan radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Umar says, I was shocked. I was so affected by this that why was I so quick to judge and say who will accept and who won't accept? It was a lesson Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu learned for the rest of his life. And he learned it from the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself. And what did he learn? The value of every individual. That we are not to say, who's this one? Or it's just one to listen. Or it's just this person, he'll never change. Allah's Nabi taught, never judge. Allah says to Musa alayhi salam, go give da'wah to Fir'aun. Perhaps he will change. Perhaps he will take admonishment. Allah who knows Fir'aun was not to change, because his tyranny knew no bounds. But Allah teaches the one who invites to Allah, you don't be the judge. Leave the judgment to Allah. You go with full hope and full umid and full aspiration and anticipation and dua that Allah, tuhi hidayat dene wale hai, hidayat de de. Allah, you are the giver of hidayat. Allah, please give him hidayat. Allah loves this dua of the da'i. Allah loves this dua of the mu'min. Allah's Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks to Hakam, he embraces Islam, then Allah's Nabi gives hidayat to his sahaba who are sitting in their halqa. They were feeling Allah's Nabi sitting with him, not sitting with us. Allah's Nabi says to them, see, you all told me to leave this individual. If I had to listen to you, he would die and go to hell. No, give value to every person. لو أطعتكم فيه آنفا فتركته لدخل النار. What Allah's Nabi taught, every person is valuable, every person is kimti and valuable. Allah give us the understanding to value this beautiful ummah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every youngster, every elderly, every person should be given the opportunity, should be valued, should be loved. Sat with a brother today, a few weeks Muslim, and he's telling us over some tea, he says, you know, it was few months ago, he said, he says he actually wanted to test. And he tried this with Hindus, he tried this with Christians, and there were Muslims sitting there. He said, I know these Muslims are not going to give me. He says, I went to this one brother, and I said, give me. And this brother gave him. So he's telling us as we were sitting, he actually said in his heart that this person's not going to give me. And when he gave me, I was shocked that I failed. And it actually touched me that a Muslim is different. A Muslim is different. Anyway, then it was the turn of the caravan of Abu Sufyan. Abu Sufyan, who later became such a great Sahabi, Hazrat Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu. But this was the initial stages. He was still the leader of the Meccan people, one of the leaders at this point, and he is now traveling with the caravan with all the wealth of the Meccan people. Everyone had their investments in this caravan, and their plans for this wealth was big. Going time, Muslims tried, there was no contact. As they were returning, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Hazrat Sa'ad and Talha radiallahu anhuma to get information. Anyway, they didn't manage to bring information. They came back much later. Allah's will, they went in a different direction. All was to try. Then Allah's Nabi sent Hazrat Basbas Basbas went, radiallahu anhu, and he managed to gain information. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then gathers Sahaba radiallahu anhum that here's this expedition, the caravan is there, we have to go. Now this was the initial stage of Badr. Some Sahaba said, O Nabi of Allah, allow us to get ready. Allah's Nabi says, no, whoever is ready, come. So Allah chose who should come. The total number, one report says 313, the other says 314, the one says 315, the one says 319. We'll explain why the different numbers. Anyway, Hazrat Sa'ad bin Ubadah radiallahu anhu, a very senior Sahabi, senior in the Ansar, he was ready and he actually contributed and helped 20 others to get ready from his own pocket. A very generous Sahabi radiallahu anhu. And he was rallying everyone, come, come. And as they were departing, he got poisoned by a snake, and Allah's Nabi, he asked Allah's Nabi's permission to stay because of this. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam counted him as a veteran of Badr, and he was given his share of the booty because his intention was totally to come. Something else interesting happened there. Now father and son, both were there, but father and son said that one has to go and the other has to stay. Sa'd and Khaythama. Sa'ad is the son, Khaythama is the father. Father says to the son, you must stay behind. Son says, father, I must go. Now they agree to cast lots. The name of the son came out. Son says, father, in anything I'll make your ikram, but this is Jannat. Yeah, I'm gonna go. So the son participated in Badr and he went in the path of Allah Ta'ala. Allahu Akbar, he did become one of the shuhada of Badr. On this occasion, Hazrat Sa'ad bin Ubadah radiallahu anhu gifted his special sword, Al-Adb, to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had that sword in Badr. Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu was going to come. Allah's Nabi said, you must stay. Your wife is terminally ill. She doesn't have much time left. You have to tend to her. So on that instruction, Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu stayed behind. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam traveled with his Sahaba radiallahu anhum. They went to an area called Naqab Bani Dinar, an area there known as Buyutu Suqya. This probably, most probably was a Sunday, the 12th of Ramadan. They camped there and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to see exactly who is with him. Then there were some youngsters. Among them was Abdullah bin Amr. Abdullah bin Amr. Another was Usama bin Zaid, Rafi' bin Khadij, Bara bin Azib, Usaid bin Zuhair, Zaid bin Arqam, Zaid bin Thabit. These youngsters, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa looked at them and said, you are too young, you'll have to go back. Allahu Akbar. They were emotional, but they went back. Rafi' bin Khudayj, interestingly, he was a very good archer. So Allah's Nabi said, okay, you come. Zaid bin Thabit, it's reported, as he's going back, he was an orphan child. His mother wept, he wept. And him and his mother, as they're walking back into Medina Munawwara, are discussing that, you know, I wanted to be close to my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but what I'm going to do, Ma, is I'm going to learn the Quran, and through the Quran Kareem, I'll become close to Allah's Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar. What vision of this child, Hazrat Zaid bin Thabit radiallahu anhu. We always hear his name in the khutbah, wa afraduhum Zaid ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu. Something interesting was Hazrat Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu. His brother Umair bin Abi Waqqas was young and he was hiding. So he's asking his brother, why are you doing this? He said, I'm worried Allah's Nabi will see me and send me back. When Allah's Nabi saw him, Allah's Nabi says, you must go back. This young man cried, and he cried, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took pity on him and let him come in the path of Allah. Allahu Akbar, what mizaj, what love for deen in the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. This was Hazrat Umair bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, the brother of Hazrat Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas. Famous Hazrat Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas, the Sahabi who's one of the Ashara Mubashara radiallahu anhum. Something interesting, where they camped here, Hazrat Sa'ad radiallahu anhu was very wise. He heard Allah's Nabi praise this area. So later on, he went and purchased that plot where the Muslims were. So that became the property of Hazrat Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, known as Buyut al-Suqya.